scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. If you're using the Bibles under the bench, this can be found on page 1080. Again, that's 2 Peter 2, 18 through 22. For whom they speak great words, swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire.
We live in a greatly advanced world where technology has aided us and helped us in a lot of different ways. One of those ways is helping us, as we travel, get from point A to point B. A global positioning system, a GPS. I have become so accustomed to my GPS that I shudder to think how I would get from here to there without one. There are many pros and there are some cons, though, as you know if you have one. The pro would be, or various benefits would be, that it will get you. As long as the place is still in existence and the roads are still open, it will get you from point A to point B. Now, I will tell you, it may take you the long way, and it may make you feel like it's the wrong way, but it will get you there. I'm mindful of a time when we were vacationing in Massachusetts, and we wanted to go towards Salem, and it took us through the bad part of town. That's all I'm going to say. And I wanted to choke that little GPS because on the outer belt there was a nice, safe interstate to travel up on. So sometimes the directions that it gives are just not the best and the most prudent directions. But if your GPS behaves or misbehaves like my GPS, mine tries to get me in trouble with the state and local law enforcement sometimes. You see, if I miss a turn and I'm traveling along, it makes me aware of the fact that Recalculating. Make a U-turn and 300 feet. I don't think that that gentleman sitting up there with wings on his door, you know, in a white car sitting in the middle would appreciate those instructions. I understood what she was saying. See, she even has a personality. about turning around. Do a U-turn. Spiritually speaking, folks, there are individuals who were on the right track. They were. They heard the word. They believed the gospel. They obeyed the gospel. for all practical purposes. They were doing the right things. They were coming to church. They were worshiping. They were serving. They were being the Christian man or woman that God has called them to be. But some way, somehow, somewhere, they decided to make a U-turn when they shouldn't have. They turned around. I, for the life of me, I struggle with this. I try to understand it based upon what Paul wrote there to the saints in Rome, in Romans in chapter 5 and verses 6 through 11. Paul says, when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Notice what Paul does. He says, this is who you were. This was the condition spiritually that you were in. But I want you to see what God has done for you, because He loves you. I want you to see what Jesus has done for you, because He loves you. You were unlovable at that time. Oh, yes, you were. You were enemies of the cross. Do we get it? Do we understand the magnitude of this? The magnificence of this? I hope we do. But just like the Apostle Paul shared his concerns for the churches that he helped establish and edify, there is much concern in Christianity today. One might say, well, what is that concern? The concern is that, again, folks, we will turn back. We'll depart. We'll leave. We'll make a U-turn. Let's just briefly look at some folks that have done that. One episode in which we see folks turning back is a collective U-turn. It is to the saints there in that region or territory known as Galatia. If you have a map in your Bible, you can easily find Galatia, the region of Galatia. In the news today, we hear a lot about Syria. And if you look on your map and you see Syria, and you, as the crow flies northwest, it won't be too long that you'll see that region of Galatia. Paul was actively involved in establishing churches in that region of Galatia. Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, Antioch. These were some of the cities and by which Paul went through on his first, second, and third missionary journey and helped establish churches and edify and build these churches up. When you read the book of Galatians, you've read it before, you notice that Paul is very straightforward. He speaks to these brethren in such a way that he knows them and they know him very well. Because he can certainly get by with saying some of the stuff that he says. And he has a lot to say. One of the things that Paul was concerned about when he's writing this letter to these Christians here in Galatia is the fact that they were making a spiritual U-turn that they shouldn't have. There in Galatians in chapter 1, and I want you to notice in verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Verse 7, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. This is troubling for Paul. He was troubled that their loyalty and their love for the Lord is at risk. There in verse 7, just as we read it, he said there are troublers there. Maybe another way of saying it, you and I might say there are troublemakers there. Satan will make sure in his attempt to divide and conquer that there are troublemakers in every church. He'll do his very best to make sure of that. And there were troublemakers here. Paul was troubled with these troublemakers. You see, they're slick. Their approach is basically this. Well, yeah, you want to go ahead and convert to Christ, be baptized into Christ, that is fine, but there's things that you need to do in addition to that. This gospel that you've obeyed is insufficient. It's inadequate. You've got to be circumcised according to the law of Moses, chapter 5 and verse 12. You've got to keep the Sabbath and the other Jewish holidays and holy days. Chapter 4 and verse 10. You've got to keep the Jewish ceremonial law in chapter 5 and verse 3. So these troublemakers are not coming in and saying, you know what, I think we should start preaching and teaching from the book of Satan. What do you think? That's not the way they came across. They just tweaked things enough to distort the true gospel. The true Word of God. It was a different gospel. Paul was exceedingly disappointed, and his tone was strong and forceful. As a matter of fact, he says that in chapter 4 and verse 20 in Galatians. He says, I wish I could speak to you in a different tone. But I've got great concerns about you. They resented him and his message because Paul would ask the question in chapter 4 and verse 16, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Truth hurts, doesn't it? As someone once said a long time ago, that's when it's time to change, though. When the truth hurts, that's when it's time to change. Paul alludes to their U-turn again in chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, you ran well. You ran well. You were on the right track. You were going the right direction. You were doing what you were supposed to do. You were living a life that God was pleased with. You obeyed the gospel just as an inspired apostle presented it. Just as the Spirit of God had presented it, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? They did a U-turn. Sadly, folks, we see not just individuals turning back, turning away, doing a U-turn, but we see collective bodies doing the same thing today. I remember back probably mid to late 90s when I was preaching in Millersburg at that time. One of the individuals, staff members from Potter's Children's Home, I believe it was, I've been Schultz and Lewis, but one of them showed up and we had collected some goods for them. This congregation does the exact same thing. And we had collected some goods for them, and whenever the gentleman arrived, we talked a little bit about the places he's been and where he's going to next. And he says, I had to just breathe a sigh of relief when I showed up here at the church because it was truly the Lord's church. I said, well, aren't they all the ones that you're going to? He says, well, this one that I just got done visiting wasn't. I said, what do you mean? He says, brother, I have been going to this church for years and getting supplies from them. And he says, do you know they're no longer a Church of Christ? I said, what? He says, yeah, there's some satellite church from some community church movement. So that's interesting. He says, yeah. But you see what I'm saying is that collectively, there are churches that they've done a U-turn. Isn't it sad when you travel anymore? And from time to time, someone will come to my office and say, hey, do you have a copy of Where the Saints Meet? Yeah. Got it right here. But you got to do that, don't you? You've got to anymore because you just don't know if the saints are really meeting there or if it's someone who has a different gospel meeting there. We think about individuals, though. Demas, for example. Demas is not... A lot is written about Demas in the Bible, in the Scriptures. But his example is a heart-wrenching example. And it's certainly enough, whatever is written about him, to break the heart of any devoted disciple of the Lord, because one has indeed forfeited their faith and they have forfeited their heavenly inheritance. See, here's what we know about Demas. He was a friend of the Apostle Paul. He was a companion of the Apostle Paul. More importantly, he was a Christian. He was a devoted Christian. Paul mentions him in his letters in Philemon and there in Colossians and Philemon in verses 23 and 24. He says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, he greets you as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, and my fellow laborers. There in Colossians, Paul would say, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, they greet you. But there is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, when Paul makes us aware of that U-turn that Demas made. Demas, he says, has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And he has departed for Thessalonica. How sad. How sad. Does that sadden you like it does me? One who was such an asset and an active worker in the Lord's church, he has departed. But sadly, the church has its own list today of Demases. Those who were once loyal and dedicated disciples, they have departed. I remember the first time in my young life when that impacted me. Now, I didn't grow up in the Lord's church. I grew up in a very charismatic community church. But when I did make the decision that God's Word rules and not my opinion, and that Jesus means what He says and says what He means based upon John chapter 12 and verse 48, that His Word will judge us in the last days, not God's opinion. And that's what you have to come to terms with if you're where I was back then. You're not right, he is. If he's right and you're accepting what he says, then you're right. So, the first time this really impacted me was the youth group that I grew up in was a very strong, spiritually strong, active youth group. We traveled to various places doing door-knocking campaigns, trips, mission trips. Kind of sounds like this church. We were very in tune and in touch with one another. I guarantee you, every Wednesday night, every Sunday night, I try to make our own youth aware of this, how close we were. Either one of the two nights, one night was at McDonald's in Waverly, and the other one was at Cardo's Pizza. If you get on Route 23 and head south, just past Chillicothe, and then you go through Waverly, on your right-hand side, left-hand side the dealership, right-hand side you'll see Cardo's Pizza. Every Sunday night after services, we all met at Cardo's Pizza. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is because of this. My time has gotten away from me. You sing too many songs. I'm just joking, Archie. I had only been in college my freshman year. You know, after that first 5-6 months, going back time to time and visiting with my home congregation. And some of the kids that I worshipped with, that I grew up with, they weren't there. And I began to ask, where's the angel? Oh, didn't you hear? She left the church. What? Well, where's Danny? He took off with this girl and we haven't seen him. And Brenna, I got to tell you, my heart was just crushed. They're Demases. But we have our own, don't we? Are we affected by it? I am. It saddens us to know that there are those that obeyed the truth, that they made a U-turn. Ever talk to them now that they've made the U-turn some years later? They don't even sound like the same person, do they? Their behavior's different. If they're not going to church anywhere else, their behavior's different. Their interests, the things that they're involved in, those things have become their God. But not the true Yahweh God. Many at Christ's return, they will turn back. Jesus mentions this in Luke chapter 17 and verses 26 through 32. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when Jesus returns. And there will be those, and then Jesus will go on, and he will give an Old Testament example. Remember Lot's wife? She turned back. What made her turn back? What was it? We can discuss that some other day. We obviously don't have the time now. But it just, that was home. That's where her heart was. That's where her affections were. And God said, that's not a good place to be. Brethren, the sad but true reality is some people, they have a hard time letting go of their past and of their sin. And they start looking back and longing for it and want to return. Another example certainly is that of those who fall away. Gary read for us that those false teachers there in 2 Peter in chapter 2. And to make a long story short, it's heart-wrenching to see what Peter says. It was better for them to not even know the truth than to know it and depart from it. That's what he says. And then he gives us a couple gross word association pictures. One is a dog throwing up and going back and recycling that meal a second time and making the most out of it. Or how vain it would be to go and take a hose and water down a pig, only to watch that pig run back to the mud. Flop! You know? Why did you do that for, you crazy pig? Because I'm a pig. You know? how sad it is. It's so gross, those analogies. But, brethren, I want to know quickly, there are benefits to not returning to sin. First of all, there's no guilty conscience. When we don't go back and return to sin, the author of Hebrews makes it very clear in Hebrews chapter 9, actually in verses 13 and 14, when he's comparing and contrasting the law of Moses, those sacrifices that were offered compared to the blood that Jesus shed for us, and our conscience is purged. When did that happen? Come on over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and look in verses 20 and 21 when Peter tells us there's an antitype which now saves us. It's not the removal of the filth of flesh, but a good conscience towards God. It's baptism, Peter would say. Remember having a discussion with a denominational preacher years ago who did not see the importance of baptism. He kept insisting, it's just faith, I'm telling you. All we have to do is just have faith. Took it to passages like this and also in Romans in chapter 6 and pointed out, but faith, belief, leads to baptism. Isn't that what Jesus said? Well, yeah, that's what Jesus said. And as Paul pointed out in Romans chapter 6, that we're baptized into Jesus' death, brethren, I can't think of a better place to come in touch with Jesus' blood than at baptism representing his death. Can you? God says, when you do that, your conscience is clean, it is clear. There's no regrettable consequence. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wages of sin is death. Listen to me. There are consequences for wrong behavior. There are consequences to sin. But not for becoming a Christian. There are no regrettable consequences there if we live as a Christian should live. And third and finally, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but they walk according to the Spirit. I think that's a pretty good deal. No guilty conscience, no regrettable consequence, no condemnation. So I'm going to ask you today, why would you ever want to do a U-turn ahead if you're on the right path already? Why? It makes no sense. But in another way, if you're on the wrong path and you're headed in the wrong direction, by all means, you turn ahead immediately. Turn to the Lord. Give your life to Christ. I want to encourage you today to obey the gospel. Not a different gospel, the gospel. Repent of your sins. I want you to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I want you to be baptized. God wants you to be baptized. The saints that meet here and who love the Lord want you to be baptized into Christ for the remission and the forgiveness of your sins and live faithfully unto Him. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've strayed away, not so much physically, but internally. You've done a U-turn. And you know you need to return. We ask for you to come forward, and together we stand and we sing.